The phone lines are open on the Dave Baum Show. 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-4-IT. TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the Dave Baum Show. And it's, as always, it's great to have you aboard as a listener or as a caller at 1-888-463-6748. We're heard in more than 80 countries and 2,500 cities. The issue is the United States Postal Service, better known as the Post Office. Should it be privatized, and if so, why? And if not, why not? Our guest is Robbie Schrum of the Lexington Institute. And the Institute is constantly keeping an eye on the Postal Service, how it's doing, productivity, what it's doing right, what it's not doing well. Question, Robbie, before we get to the phones, we're talking about potential competition and privatizing the Postal Service. The Post Office does deliver to isolated areas. To me, that's one of its strengths. They do it. However, if you privatize this concept and somebody else came along, would they charge more than the Postal Service charges now for isolated areas?
Well, that remains to be seen. The point is, though, that it's illegal for anyone to try. It's illegal for anyone to say, I can deliver to isolated areas more cheaply than the Postal Service can. Mm-hmm. And some Postal Service studies have actually shown, particularly one by a fellow named Bob Cohen, have shown that rural routes, the ones with that everyone thinks of the carrier trudging through snow and running away from dogs and things of that nature, those are the ones that actually make money on average, whereas the routes in the cities can face bigger financial pressures.
How do you perceive the privatization of mail delivery? In the best of all scenarios, how do you see it?
I think that you'll see multiple competitors, multiple firms, and even some individuals in certain areas basically applying or saying, I can do this at a rate that's cost-effective for consumers, that balances their customer service obligations. I think that we can actually look to Europe for some good examples. Britain, Finland, and Sweden have already privatized their posts in some manner. Germany just did so at the beginning of this year. And in Britain, for example, consumers can have up to 20 choices in who will deliver their letters. And
in Britain, for example, all based on uniformity, regardless of how many choices?
Uniformity in what sense?
These are the criteria for delivering the mail. For example, in northeast Britain, the same criteria if you're delivering in Wales.
I think that there's some flexibility in the local markets, but I'm not familiar with all of the specifics of the regulations mm-hmm. that everyone must follow. But I do know that costs for consumers have plummeted in many marketplaces.
In your scenario, would one company, one business, get national account? It would be one business, or would it be divided up into regions in the United States?
I think it would just have to go whatever would be the most efficient for consumers in the marketplace is what I'd like to see. I don't want to prescribe any grand, you know, plan from above.
So the Midwest could have a different, under this privatization plan, the Midwest could have a different carrier than the West Coast.
Absolutely.
They follow the same rules, or basically the same rules, but they'd have a different carrier.
Absolutely. I think that sounds reasonable. And to some degree, that already happens. The Postal Service now only really provides last-mile delivery, the thing that we're familiar with when we see our postmen drop our letters off. The heavy lifting is often done by private carriers interacting with the Postal Service, airlines, mm-hmm. Things of that nature. You know, when I mail a letter from Washington, D.C. To the West Coast, obviously it's not driven by my mailman all the way across the country. It may take going on a commercial airline where it's then picked up and sorted in San Francisco or something and then delivered by a mailman there.
Let's get to the phones. Bob, you're on the Dave Baum Show. Welcome. Post Office, privatize it or keep it public?
Definitely, Dave, it should be privatized. I just got my mail this morning. It's soaking wet. Hopefully that's water on it. I don't know what it is. My mailman is seems like he's always on vacation. He takes weeks of vacation, and when he's away, my mail, I get my neighbor's mail. It just doesn't work well, and I look at UPS and Federal Express, and they do such a great job of delivery. It just seems like we really should open it up to private industry.
Bob, as a businessman, and I assume you either work for somebody or have your own company, but in that sense, do you really believe that if you privatize this, whoever winds up with the contract to deliver your mail could do it as cheaply as the post office is doing it for you now? Maybe drier, yes, but as cheaply?
I think so, because they will have, hopefully there will be competition. I think competition is the name of the game. It's worked in so many areas in our country, and I think it really should be in terms of mail delivery. There should be competition, and if I don't think that it should be limited to one company. I mean, they've opened up competition in a lot of areas that were once restricted. Why not do that with the mail too?
Robbie, your comments?
I 100% agree. I think if you open the market to competition, consumers have a level of input, and they'll vote with their dollars. If their mail arrives soaking wet with the private competitor, they'll go to the next one.
Mm-hmm. Bob, thanks very much for your call and comments. I appreciate it. Realistically, will politics allow this to happen? Privatization?
Not in the short term, but perhaps in the long term. You have to remember the Postal Service is a very protected entity. Congressmen really like naming post offices after, you know, constituents and perhaps after themselves if they're feeling a bit proud. And so there's a lot of patronage that can come along with the post office. And for that reason, I think that there's some reticence. And there are some entrenched interests, too. Obviously, there are about 700,000 workers in the current U.S. Postal Service. And there would be some uncertainty associated with liberalizing and privatizing the marketplace. And anytime there's uncertainty and anytime there's an established status quo, it can be very difficult politically to change things.
What percentage of the costs of the Postal Service are labor?
80%. Of the costs, the Postal Service distributes.
80% labor of the cost, bottom line cost, Postal Service, labor.
Correct.
Rest includes et cetera, and transportation costs, right?
Correct.
So if 80% is accountable by labor, what kind of a one-sided deal does the Postal Service union make with the quote-unquote officers, quasi-public, of the United States Postal Service?
Well, they get some pretty sweetheart ones, that's for sure. But if you parse the union contracts, they look to have some nice advantages, but that's the job of a union, to be perfectly honest.
Well, tell me some of the things they have, because now I'm beginning to drool. This whole hour has been public versus private, and I'm thinking to myself, damn it, I've wasted my life being in the private sector. I ought to be, picking it up at the public trough. What would I get if I was a member of the National Association of Letter Carriers?
Well, they've done a great job securing some benefits for their members. The health benefits packages are quite comprehensive in terms of levels of co-pays and things of that nature. There have been some rows over watching the percentage of premium that the Postal Service pays, from, say, 87% to 85% or something like that. My favorite benefit, though, is the $300 uniform allowance that just came out.
Wait a minute. A $300 uniform allowance?
In the most recent contract, there was I believe it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $300, between $250 and $300, devoted to new uniforms for each member. Now, that may be important, but I don't get an allowance for my new clothes. So.
Wow. How about cost of living?
A cost of living adjustment is given at the rate of inflation. So each and every year, several hundred dollars are paid to the union members as a cost of living adjustment.
Woo! Woo! And any final thought on why the Postal Service should be privatized?
Well, I think it'd bring a lot of transparency to the agency. Right now, we don't know a lot of what goes on. Only 60% of the cost that the Postal Service can be attributed. The other 40% go to some level of overhead. And of that 60%, they know 80% go to 80% of those go to labor. But I think it'd be nice to have some transparency in the marketplace, so that consumers knew where their stamp prices were going, and had some input into the rate setting process. One recent development I've been following is people have just begun to notice that the book rate has vanished from the postal, from the post office.
Really?
You have to ask for it by name. They won't offer it to you. If you're mailing a book, they'll say, oh, how about priority mail? And only when you say, I want to use the book rate because I know that my book qualifies, will they grant it to you.
Robbie Shrum, our guest on the Dave Baum Show from the Lexicon Institute. Robbie, thank you very much for your time. We'll look a lot closer the next time we put a stamp on a letter. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Privatizing the post office in addition to public versus private. Wow. Wow. Now, on the other side of a commercial break on the Dave Baum Show, a cup of coffee. What's the big deal? Well, in some cases, it's become a real big deal. We'll talk about a cup of coffee and where it could lead you on the Dave Baum Show, TalkZone.com. Happy you're aboard.